let me just say that I am really encouraged by tonight, just seeing all of you here. And I want to tell you, as I thought about how we would kick the year off this year, the Lord took me to a passage in 1 Samuel. Some of you, how many of y'all are going through the journey? Anybody going through the journey with our church? There's a few of you. If you want a great way to go through the scripture, and just a way to be encouraged to get in the Word every day, if that's something you're struggling with, that's a great thing. You can join the journey on jointhejourney.com and get on there, and people, you'll get an email every day from somebody that's been in the Word, and it's a certain passage of the scripture, and it has been terrific. But I want to share with you, as I thought through what I should share with you guys to start our year off, as I thought about this idea of where a lot of us are looking to the Lord and we're saying, "King me." As I was a young man, I used to go to my grandpa's house, and my grandpa was an incredible dominoes player and checkers player. Y'all ever play anybody that's really good at checkers? If you haven't, there's some of us that just play checkers, and there's some of us that will get dominated by the guys who really know how to play. And my grandpa would just school me in checkers as a young man all the time. And the one time that you'd feel good about it was when you'd get to the very other side of the checkerboard and you'd say, "King me." And you thought at that point that I'm going to be able to take him out because I can move forward and backwards and all these different ways. And I'll be able, well, even when I got kings, my grandpa was quick to get me. And I came across a passage in 1 Samuel, that chapter 8, where the people are basically saying, "King me." And the "king me" in checkers is a positive thing, but in this case, it was not a good thing. And I want to show you why. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 through 9. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel, and so he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know what the king who will reign over them will do." When I read that passage, you guys, I was reminded of me. And I don't know if you look at that, especially that verse 8 there, when God's saying, boy, they're doing what they've always done. They've always done this. I brought them out of Egypt. Think about you. Take Egypt and substitute. God brought you. Those of you who know Christ, he has brought you out of your sin. He has freed you from the bondage of your sin. His blood has covered you, and he's made you free in Christ. But he says, "I brought them out of Egypt until this day, and they've been forsaking me and serving other gods. And so they're doing to you." Do you ever think about yourself, where you're forsaking the Lord and serving other things besides him? Man, I get convicted. This morning as we were sitting worshiping today, I just kept reminding and just singing out to the Lord, just going, "Lord, I'm fearful, and when I'm fearful, I want to serve everything but you, because I want to run to the things that I think are going to make me okay. And they never do, and they always leave me wanting." So they were wanting, so the things we need to see there in those first deals, they wanted a king like the other nations. We see that. The second thing is the Lord really pointed out in verse 7, if you look there, it says, "And the Lord told them, listen to all the people that are saying to you, it is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king." That is big words. When the Lord says, "They've rejected me." And as you sit before the Lord, is there times right now where you go, "Lord, if I'm honest, I've rejected you and I've run to other things." And then God warns them in verse 9. Let's look at verse 9 again. It says, "Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly and let them know what the king who will reign over them will do." See, here's what I believe. Many of us are going to put things in kingly places this year that shouldn't be there. And it's not going to be Christ. As we sang tonight, "Here is our king. Here's our love. Here's our God is bringing us back to him." It is an unbelievable privilege to serve the King of Kings. But we put things in small case kings in kingly places. And when we do that, We need to recognize what will happen. And so God warns them. I'll tell you a quick story. When I was a kid, about the age of 7 or 8, which is about the age of my oldest son, Braden, I had a friend named John Seitz who he had a bike and I was kind of just, you know, riding bikes for just a little while. And John was trying to get me to ride down this hill right beside my house on his bike. And I remember thinking, I don't know if that's such a good idea. But he goes, oh, come on, it'll be great. So I get on his bike. Well, he had a pretty old bike. And so this hill went down and then it turned around like this. And there was gravel on both sides of the hill, of the road. And I started down on this bike. And as I turned with the turn of the road, the bike stuck. Okay, it would not go back. And I was like, okay. And I'm heading, and all of a sudden, I'm looking towards the gravel on the side of the road. And I hit that gravel, and it threw me over the top of the handlebars, and I landed face first. This is how I look like this now. And I landed face first in the gravel, and I became the Elephant Man, pretty much, okay? And I remember just this feeling of that my lips were so like, hey, Mom, you know, we had a bad wreck, you know? And I remember it vividly going up, and a lady carrying me up to my house and setting me on the bar of our kitchen, and my mom looking at it and going, yeah, we're going to need some stitches. And I have a scar right here. Does anybody else have bike wreck scars on their face? Okay, there's a few of us. We'll talk after this and reminisce. But I will tell you that was, I wish someone would have come along and warned me. Wish someone would have said, hey, this bike you're getting ready to ride, if you ride it, most likely it's going to mess up, and you're going to end up face first in the gravel. And I think that's what God was doing with the people of Israel. And you know what? That's what God's doing with you. Tonight, God's going to give you some warnings. God's going to give you some charges of what people who love him and people who know him and walk with him in his word, he's giving you some warnings and he's giving you some ways. He's saying, hey, this is the way, walk in it. And if you'll do it, there's life there. And if you don't, there's going to be consequence. You're going to end up face first in the gravel. And that's what he's telling the people of Israel. And so he's telling them here, hey, let me tell you what's going to happen. If I give you this king that you so badly want, look at what happens here. Let's read the next verses. He said this. This is what the king who will reign over you will do. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses. And they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and to reap his harvest. And still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. Hey, would somebody get me a glass of water from the back, one of the leaders, please? He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your men servants and maid servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys, he will take this for their own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and then yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen. The Lord will not answer you in that day. Here's what I want you to know, is that when we take on kings that aren't meant to be, I'm going to sit here for a minute because I am getting a little bit on the dehydrated side here. When we take things on that are outside of what the Lord wants, there is problems and there's pain coming our way. So what we see here is that if they take this king, God's saying, hey, here's what's going to happen. You're going to have problems. And I would tell you, as I read that this summer, I started thinking about, hey, what are the problems that I'm facing? And what are the things that I'm putting in kingly places that shouldn't be there? And I sometimes cry out for a king when the reality is God has a better thing for me. Thank you, Mel. This is like reminiscent of the Hideaway Retreat. Thank you. How many were on the Hideaway Retreat with me last year and I started getting dehydrated and almost passed out? It's awesome. Okay, so here's what I want you to hear. I'll make this very simple since I'm going to pass that on stage. What you see here is this. The people of Israel are wanting this king, and God's going, hey, if you have this king, it's going to be a bad deal. And you didn't know that it's going to leave you wanting. And I wonder for us, what are the things right now that you want to put in kingly places? What are the things that you go, man, if I just had that, I would be happy. If I had those friends, if I could play that sport, if I could do that, then I would finally be the person I want to be. And God's telling them, hey, if you do this, it's going to be bad. And you're going to be wanting. So God warns them that that's going to happen. This king is going to basically enslave you, is what it said in the scripture there. So right now, here's what I'd ask you. Are there things in your life right now that are in a place that you they mean so much to you that they're even above the Lord? You're serving those more than God himself. And here's how you know. Are there things right now that if they don't go well, that you're just wrecked by it? You're so worried about it. You're so consumed by it. And the Lord just kind of takes a backseat and you kind of forget about him because you're so consumed by what's in your life right now that isn't going quite your way. So I'd ask you that tonight. That was what was going on with them. And look what happens with them. Look at their response. In verse 19, it says this. It says, the people's response, they refused to listen to Samuel. So the first thing we see is that they refused to listen. The second thing is that they wanted to be like other nations. Okay? Here's how you can put that in your... First of all, are you listening to God? When you're chasing stuff that's leaving you empty, do you continue to pursue what you want? And God's going, hey, if you would just come to me, and if you'd quit trying to serve other kings and think that you know what's best and trust me, there's a place of life there. Okay? And also, they want to be like other nations. How many of y'all just find yourself comparing yourself to everybody else? And you're going, man, if I just was like them, I would be happy. I'd be content. That's what they thought. And see, the reason, here's what I tell you, the reason they wanted this king, that you think about, why did they want a king? Well, the first thing is it was a picture of security. They thought, if we had this king, then we're going to look at least like we've got it all together. And God was going, man, you rejected me and you chose that, and it's going to leave you empty. I've told you all the things that are going to happen. Think about your sin struggles right now. Think about the things that you're chasing right now that leave you empty. And God's going, boy, if you chase that, it's going to enslave you, just like he talked to the people of Israel about this king. So what are those things right now that you're going, you're trying to find security in? God's going, you'll never find it. The other thing is, like I said there, is that it was comparison. It was a comparison game. And guys, comparison is a burden for you. You have to trust, and I have to trust, that God has a plan for us. That God had a plan for the people of Israel, and they kept looking to other things. All throughout the history there, they were always trying to do stuff. You guys remember when they made the golden calf because they weren't waiting on Moses, they weren't waiting on the Lord, and they kept going, man, Egypt looks great compared to this, Lord. And Egypt is where they were enslaved. So I would ask you tonight, what are the things that you're comparing, and what are the things that you're trying to find a false security in? And here's the next question. What are the things that are enslaving you? Let me give you some examples. How about your desire to be liked at any cost? Any of y'all ever feel like that? Man, I'll do whatever it takes to be liked. I feel that way sometimes now. That I'll do that. I'll put myself in, I'll chase for whatever it takes for people to like me. And if you're serving that, that's an idol. That's serving. That's putting something in a kingly place that God didn't want you to have there. Look at the verse that I'd tie in with it, Galatians 1:10. Am I now trying to win the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. See, when it's not about kinging me, when it's about putting God in his kingly place and serving him, then we quit worrying so much about what others think. Secondly, maybe it's just you've put nothing in that kingly place, meaning that you just don't want to have any purpose. You're one of those guys, I just kind of laid back, I don't do anything. And your laziness and your apathy, you've put that in a kingly place. Look at the verse that goes with that. That we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. You guys, there are people around you that are really pursuing Christ. You ought to imitate that. Don't become lazy. And God didn't want you to have purpose in your life. He didn't want you to spend this year just going, you know, whatever comes, that's great, if however it works out. He wants you to pursue him and put him in the kingly place. Look at the third thing. How about just a relationship with a girlfriend or boyfriend? That's going to be a common one for a lot of us, that you might put in a place that's not the right place. Okay, you might put that above the Lord and not trusting the Lord, going, Lord, I want your will to be in this relationship. I don't want it to be about you. I want to honor that girl, guys. If you're in that place, you're going, I want to honor him the way that you would have me honor him. Or maybe you're going, no, I just want to hold on to this relationship at any cost. And Lord, I haven't really even thought about you. Only when she's about to break up do I start praying, or when he's about to break up. So look at the verse that goes with that, 1 Thessalonians 4:5. Not in passionate lust, like the heathen who do not know God. Probably should have put verse 4 on that. That made a lot more sense. Okay, then the last one is maybe verse 4 is that this secret sin that nobody knows. Guys, if you want this year, boy, if I could give you a gift, I'd ask you what sin right now is in a kingly place and is enslaving you. What has left you wanting, and you're wanting to cry out for relief, and God's letting you go ahead and drink of that until you come to the end of your rope and you go, Lord, man, there is no life in this. Look at the verse that goes with that. Romans 6:6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Is that the way you picture your life now? Are you freed up from sin? Not saying you don't sin ever, because we all do. But are there things right now that you're keeping in the dark and you're letting hinder you and hold you back? And you just, if you're honest, you're serving that. You have let that become king over you, and it owns you. Here's what I believe. God, as you read that verse, look at that Romans verse again. God has died so that you're freed from that. He doesn't want something to have a kingly place like that. He wants you to have a king that doesn't take, but a king that gives. See, the king that the Israelites wanted, he was going to take from them. You heard it. He's going to take all their stuff, all their possessions. He was going to basically enslave them. And see, the kingly stuff, small k in this world, that's what it's going to do to you. So my last thought for you is this, that God is the one that gives. He's the King of Kings, the one that gives us life. And the stuff in this world, the stuff that we talked about, some of those things tonight that you might be chasing, you just need to go, Lord, that's doing nothing but taking life from me. And I just confess, Lord, I want to once again fall at your feet, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So here's what I believe. When you finally get freed up to not be worship the King of Kings, and you really live your life for him, it's going to be a life that's very different from the one you're in now. Doesn't mean it's not going to be full of trouble and challenge, but it means that you're going to be able to walk with one who gives you life. And you know what? It won't only just save you and bless you. It'll bless those around you. See, here's what I believe. When I'm serving the King of Kings, you guys will be blessed. When I'm serving the King of Kings, my family will be blessed. When I'm serving the King of Kings, my friends will be blessed, because I'll be yielded to his Spirit. And until then, I'm going to be crying out for relief. I'm going to continue not to listen to the Lord like the Israelites, and I'm going to chase stuff that will leave me wanting. And here's my challenge to you. You need to get off the throne this year. You need to get out of the kingly place. And the stuff that you put there, the idols that you're so quickly wanting to serve this year, they've already come at you this year, haven't they? At school, there's already things that you find yourself wanting to compromise about. To be liked, to be loved, even though it's a false love. There's already things that are coming your way that you're going, man, if I'll do that, I'll be in with them. That's where we're all at. And God's going, man, serve me and serve me alone. Put me in the kingly place. This next week, we're going to do the second part of this, and we're going to look at this king that the Israelites wanted. He was Saul. And King Saul was one that, as you look at his life, you're going to be challenged and ask yourself, how am I like Saul? Is he a king like me? Or do I want to be one who serves differently, who is pursuing the Lord and loves him with all my heart? I don't know where you guys are at tonight. We're talking tonight about the King of Kings, about Jesus Christ, and you may not know him. And you may go, man, I'm not serving him because I've never met him. I've never put my trust in him. We would absolutely love to talk to you tonight. And for those of you who know him, I hope you have some really good time tonight in your journal, or as you go to bed tonight and say, Lord, where am I serving things that aren't you? Where am I putting things in kingly places that shouldn't be there, and they own me, and they're taking life from me, and you don't want me to live like that? That's true for leaders in here, adults, kids. All of us need to be asking that question. I pray we won't be people like the Israelites who say, no, Lord, we know what's best for us. Don't tell us how to live, because we want to be like everybody else. See, God's way is different. And it's full of life, and I want you to have it. Let me pray. Lord, thanks for your strength tonight. Thanks for getting me through a talk. But more importantly, I know that this is a word that you wanted these young people to hear. Lord, I thank you that left to ourselves, Lord, there's mercy in the fact that when we chase stuff that won't satisfy, it leaves us wanting. I thank you that nothing in this world really satisfies us. It only temporarily appeases us, but it never satisfies. So, Lord, would you help us to take ourselves out of the kingly place and take other things out of the kingly place that want to take life from us, enslave us, and that we'd put you right back there, Lord. That we would die to us and live for you. Because in you there's life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, let me introduce a couple of you. Let me thank Jeff Capps and the band. Let's give them a round of applause. Let me introduce one other guy I want you to meet, Mike Shelton. Mike, stand up and wave at everybody. No, stand up. Stand up. Oh, he was standing? I'm kidding. I sat because I knew this would make you uncomfortable. Just kidding. Mike is on our senior high staff. You guys get to know him. He's going to be with us for a long time, we hope. So get to know him, and great opportunity for you. He has a wife named Holly and two little girls, a two-year-old and six-month. I always want to say seven-month-old is what I want to say. Is that okay, seven-month-old? Okay. Then I want to say seventh-month-year-old. Is that wrong? So you can get to know them. They'll be around. And I want to tell you, again, love for you to take home a form for our Hideaway Retreat. If you are playing sports of any kind, or if you're in something on Friday night that would keep you from coming, you can come up Saturday. What we're encouraging you to do is get a ride with your folks and maybe carpool with other people. We're going to kind of try to get that set up. Some of you are going, I can drive. The problem is that didn't go real good with our policy. So we'll have to get that kind of set up if you want to come up on Saturday. A lot of times people take Suburbans and stuff and drive groups of students that way. We'll probably set up a couple of different times people are meeting up here on Saturday and drive it down there. We'd love for as many as you that can, though, to go with us Friday night. If you can come the whole weekend, it is going to be awesome. We are really excited. It's a great getaway early in the year, just to be together and worship and have a ton of fun, and it will be a great weekend. All right? If you didn't fill out a club card tonight, we want you to do that so that we have your current information with us. Everybody, please fill one out, and we will see you all next week. Thank you.